Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study of the Father of Lights in James 1:17. You may send any questions, comments, or prayer requests that you may have to BBFOhio@protonmail.com. You can also mail those along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry made out to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. We also have a Contact Us page on our website. You can also donate there by using the PayPal donation button. That's bbfohio.com. And now we begin with the current events update, followed by our study in James 1:17, titled The Father of Lights. This is part one of two.
Current events update, brought to you by Bigelow Decaf Tea with Milk and Honey. Yes, that's good stuff. So, we got that backwards, but then we're going to do a headline review. Headline number one, Joe Biden supports passing amnesty through budget reconciliation with simple majority. In other words, he's going to try to sneak it through with the least amount of resistance. You need to understand why that's important, because most of these who will get amnesty will vote for the welfare state socialism agenda of the Liberal Democrat Party. That's why they're pushing this through. You notice that the people that they want to bring in as illegals and give them amnesty, there's not very many of them that come from conservative and Christian backgrounds. There's a reason for that. Now, the Biden administration agenda is global Marxism. And all you have to do is learn what's global Marxism. Well, first of all, they get rid of the sovereignty of this country and establish a global government. And they do that by taking away your guns so you can't resist. And then they are already starting to clamp down on your freedom of speech and freedom of assembly and all that. And that's the agenda. And they don't realize it, but they're controlled by the spirit of Antichrist and are all prepping the world for the arrival of the beast. All right? Then our second headline review. The mother of Makia Bryant said, quote, she was a very loving, peaceful little girl. Had a motherly nature about her, end quote. That might have been true when she was a little girl, but she wasn't a little girl anymore. And what we're being told in this country is if you're black, you can do anything. That's what you're being told. You can't shoot a black person even if they're trying to murder somebody. Think about that. Here's a public service announcement. You can be as sweet as pie, but if you try to murder someone with a knife, the cops will shoot and kill you. There's the picture. Now, here's the thing. If black lives matter, what about the black girl in the pink outfit?
I know. I want to hear her story.
She is about to be stabbed with a knife that's about 4, 5, 6 inches long. You can't really, I see, looks different pictures. Look at that big old knife she's got. The cops were already there and had told everybody to cool it. And she is attempting murder right there in that picture. Mm-hmm. When you do that, you deserve to be shot and killed. I don't care what color you are. And that's what everybody of any authority figure in this country should be in lockstep unity and unison telling the world that that's the case. And that's what you ought to be telling all the young people who think they can just run their mouths and do whatever they want. Well, that's fine. But when it comes to you pull a weapon out in front of a cop, you try to pull a weapon and hurt somebody else, you're going to die. And it'll save lives. If they'd let me teach in the public schools, I could save lives. Because I would. Because I'd tell them the truth. And they'd know. Don't pull a knife out and try to kill somebody. And don't pull a weapon out in front of a cop ever. Cop says, put your hands in the air. Don't reach in your pockets. You could pull out a hairbrush in that amount of time. If he thinks it's a gun, you're dead. And it'll be justified in the courts. Most all the time. Yeah, Doug?
What I'm not seeing is I'm not seeing the baton. I'm not seeing the what do you call that thing that stick? Huh?
Taser?
Yeah, the tasers. It's always shoot. It's never...
Well, that's only if you're watching the news media. In real life, they use tasers and clubs all the time. But in this case, she was this far away from plunging a knife into that woman, and the cop didn't have anything but his gun pulled.
You know what? People think that getting stabbed with a knife isn't
going to
kill you, but it does.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. So it's not like it's not a minor thing.
God, I got knives at home.
You could be dead in like a couple of
seconds. No, anybody in the news media telling you that this cop should have used a taser or a club, put them in uniform and put them out there and let them see how they handle it. Because what they would do is that girl in the pink would be dead. You're never going to hear it in the news media, but you'll hear it and see it if you just look at all the reports across the board that are out there. They report it all the time, but the news media won't cover that. Johnny?
Could it be said that technically a knife or a bullet can be just as deadly or non-deadly depending on where it hits you?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, yeah, if you get hit the right spot in a knife with a knife...
You cut somebody right here and they're gone. I mean, you can't really stop the bleeding. And then there's the fifth rib in the Bible that you read about. Jill?
Somebody suggested that they take Mayor Ginther and DeWine and take them to a scenario like this where they had to choose who...
Well, I got what I have to say about that is to his credit, the mayor and DeWine, they're not really the problem here. I don't hear them really saying these. I saw the press conference and the mayor. But anybody, that's what I'm saying, the news media who are making people believe this stuff, they're the ones who put them in a uniform.
Yeah, let them see what it's like, you know, even if it's a fake scenario, but let them see what it's like and say, what would you do?
I mean, you know, there's cases where I'm not saying the cops never do anything, but this stuff that we're seeing now, I'm 100% with the cops.
Yeah.
Janie?
They showed I like to watch Real America's Voice, and they were talking about other situations where, you know, cops were accused of these things, and they said that Floyd did resist.
Yes, he did.
He resisted.
If you watch the full video.
They showed four other ones that involved the police.
Yeah.
And they showed each one of those videos where they resisted arrest.
Yes.
And there was one who actually had an extra gun on him.
Yeah.
And pulled it out and tried to shoot one of the officers before they finally, you know, got him detained. But
let me tell you, there are millions of Americans who believe that Michael Brown lifted his hands up and said, "Hands up, don't shoot." Didn't happen. It's pure fiction. And even Eric Holder's Justice Department released an investigation, and their findings were, didn't happen. And yet on the news media, they will still act like it happened, and millions of Americans believe that happened, and it never happened. Okay, we got to move on to our next one. Review number three. This is in Georgia, church elders are under fire for expelling a divorced woman who came out as lesbian. Now, first of all, think about this. Meanwhile, the LGBTQ and liberal ally bigots ban anyone who believes homosexuality is a sin. If you believe homosexuality is a sin, you can't hardly get a job in the news media. You can't hardly get a job in education. You have to go in and pretend to be kind of aloof and neutral to get a job in education, news media, the entertainment industry, etc. But here is a church. And the woman was a member of that church, came out as a lesbian, and they removed her from membership. Now, the whole reason for doing that is that this is biblical. It's in Matthew 18. 1 Corinthians deals with sexual sin, mostly in the whole epistle. And it says to hand such a one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of Jesus Christ. This church did exactly what they're supposed to do with the desire that she would repent. And then they would welcome her back with open arms. And now you have all the homos out there and their allies trying to shame this church and trying to threaten the people and everything. And listen, We don't have as much a formal thing going on here, but there have been a couple of people here that I've told to leave and never come back unless they repent. But you leave and don't come back unless you repent. Why? Because that's what the Bible says to do. I mean, I talked to them, I prayed with them, I prayed for them, I had a couple other people talk with me to them, just like Jesus says to do, and then they go and they do something, or it comes out that they're still living in that sin. You have to leave and not come back until you repent. And then you have to give some evidence that you've really repented and aren't living in that sin anymore. And if they came through the door right now, I'd welcome them in, and after the service, I'd walk up to them and I'd ask them what's going on, and we would talk and we'd pray about it, and maybe they would be allowed to just come back. But that's what it takes. So, the leftist sodomites will not be satisfied until they can kill and incarcerate all who oppose their agenda. Now, I've been saying that for 20 years, and it's becoming more and more obvious. That unless you don't, I'm not just saying, it's not just not opposing their agenda. If you won't get on board and promote it, then they think you shouldn't even live. They want to take your jobs from you. They want to incarcerate you, and they'll kill you if they get you. And I'm telling you, I'm not happy about this one bit. I'm really not. But we're living in the day where our numbers of people who are going to stick to the Bible and stick to God's morality and stick to His truth, it's just going to keep shrinking. You know, when Jesus said He comes back, He said, "Shall I find faith?" The Bible said the time of the Antichrist will happen when there's a great falling away. And you know what? The moment after the rapture, there's not a single believer on the planet. So that's the great falling away, because there's never been a time, even during the flood, there was at least Noah's family. Yeah. At the moment the rapture takes place, the globe is empty of believers for however much time passes before people start to then come to faith. And then when the Great Tribulation begins, the Daniel's 70th week, then 144,000 Jews rise up and start wreaking havoc all over the world. They'll turn the world upside down like they did in Acts. And it's going to be a great thing to observe from heaven. Amen? Yeah, the two witnesses. All right. Kim?
Well, it's not exactly about the homosexuality, but there's a similar thing going on with the Abraham group.
No, I haven't.
So I guess the anti-solution group has a short belief that you have to sign if you get a work for anti-solution.
Oh.
He fired a girl for having sex outside of marriage and she got pregnant. He let her go. Now she's filing suit against him because he kept Chris Hogan on, who was a Ramsey personality, on the radio with him.
Oh.
He was having an affair, but he let him stay on, but he fired the girl.
Well, now the question is, did Chris repent and make restitution, and is she doing that? Because that's the big difference. If Chris got in this and he repented and he went through whatever process they required of him, because that's not a local church situation either, so it's different than a church. But under a business situation, Dave would be required to be, there's equity, yeah, equitable. And but if he required Chris to repent, confess his sin, and go through the process of reconciliation, and this girl won't do that, there's your issue. There's your difference. And that'll come out in court. That's interesting. I didn't... Yes. Yes, it is. All right, anybody else real quick? We got a couple of minutes. Yeah, Janie?
What's your take on the process they're talking about where the ones at the border cannot call the ones that are coming over the border and through the border, the illegal aliens?
Oh, yeah, that's... You know what? I mean, that's just another example of liberalism is an Orwellian cult. They want to control your language. The term illegal alien is the legal terminology. And so they're telling you that they don't want you to even follow the law. They don't want you to follow common sense. They want you to check your brain in and act like reality isn't reality. But they've been doing that for years. You know, you're not born gay, but they demand you say that people are born gay. A man can't be a woman can't be a man, but you're being required to say that they can. I mean, on and on it goes, where they're telling you that you can't state things that are true. You have to lie. Think about that. And so if someone's an illegal alien and I call them an illegal alien, get over it, because I'm not going to lie. And, you know, I don't know what they just want you to call them, you know, immigrants. Well, they're not immigrants. They're illegal immigrants. I'm more pro-immigrant than a lot of people. There's a lot of people out there don't like my view on immigration. I do believe we need immigrants because of abortion. We're killing off the workers who should be taking care of the economy and helping pay into the system, and they're not there. So we need immigrants. But what we need are immigrants that are in line with the constitutional principles of our country. And we need them to come here legally. It needs to be controlled, the number of people who come in. That's how the Founding Fathers intended it. The Democrat Party and progressives in the Republican Party included are anti-constitutional traitors. And that's just one of the areas where they're opposed to our Constitution in reality. So, yeah, Jenny?
Here in Arkansas, how they're going down and extending the border
now. Yeah. Yeah.
They're probably going to get flattened.
The governor's called up the National Guard to the border.
That's pretty cool.
So I think it could get very interesting here. I'm glad I live in Ohio and not on the border. But I'm not out to pick a fight. I've got guns and I'll defend my own, but I'm not going to go looking for a fight. All right, we're in James chapter 1, verse 17. The Father of lights. James 1:17. We're going to read that one verse together. I'll give you a second to get there. James 1:17. If you're there, read with me. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen? Now, I'm going to tell you before we get into this, when I prep a study, you know, we go verse by verse, and a lot of times it's line upon line. There's times where it's more of a narrative, so we'll cover more territory. I got into this thing, and you'll see, I don't even get through the whole verse. Because it's an amazing study. The Father of Lights. And I always hated the fact that most teachers I've listened to through the years just skip right through this verse. And I'm looking at it and thinking, man, there's so many things I'd like to know about that verse. And they just breeze right through it. I think some of them might have been scared. there are preachers who won't announce it. But when they're teaching, you'll notice they skip through a verse or two here or there. And I've actually talked to a couple of these guys over the years. And then I've heard them do interviews or other things where they've admitted, I didn't want to touch it. And so maybe that's why a lot of guys skip through this one. I don't know. But it's not like it's a mystical type of thing. We're going to see the scripture has a lot to say about it. It says the first half of the verse there, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Amen? I mean, I hope you don't have to argue with that. It says, cometh down from the Father of lights. So everything good comes from God.
Amen.
Do you know they say the root or the etymology of the word God itself comes from the idea of the ultimate good.
That's
right. Good with a capital G became God in language. First Corinthians 4:7, Paul wrote, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" You know, you ever seen these people who just a young man or a young woman, just beautiful young lady or handsome young man, and sadly, though, they know it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? They know it. They know they're good looking. And it's a problem when that happens because, number one, they didn't do anything about it. You know, they didn't do anything to cause that to happen. I mean, they may take a bath and get a nice haircut and dress nice or whatever, but they didn't do anything to be what they are in their physical appearance. And that's the kind of thing. Well, then why glory in the fact that you're a handsome young man or a good-looking young woman? I mean, you ought to be, simply appreciating God. And then there's, you say, well, what about people, you know, that aren't as handsome or beautiful? Well, then you, like Leah, you know, she was tender-eyed. and what that was basically a nice way of saying that her sister was much better looking than she was. Rachel was a better looking woman. But Leah found blessing from God in other ways, including the children she had. And so everything comes from God. Now we have in our hymn book, I want you to look there, page 30. I'm sorry, 370. In your hymn book, page 370. What do I do with my... Oh, it's underneath there. And I'd already picked the music and posted it online, and I thought, man, we need to sing this song. And so I'm going to have you open to page 370. And that's what this verse that we're reading is telling you, that you ought to be counting your blessings. And I sing, I think you sing lead on this. Can you start us out? On life's billows you are tempted, tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Verse 3. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you His wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy. Your reward in heaven or your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath. Sing out on the last. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Amen. That's a great song. It's a great song to get stuck in your head. So that's what that's all about. Every good gift comes from God. And so instead of ever getting arrogant or greedy or whatever, we should be very thankful, count our blessings, be very giving, charitable. And then it says, and who does it come down from? It says, coming down from the what?
Father of lights.
So He's the author of all light. That's not just physical light, but spiritual light as well. Now, the NIV is one of the new versions that has sold quite a number of Bibles since, the 60s when it came out. And it limits this to starlight in this text. This is what the NIV says, which I call the not James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. And it there's nothing in the text that would limit the Father of Lights to heavenly lights. And by the way, most of the other new versions don't mess with it. So the NIV is an extra special. The NIV is a terrible translation. And yes, I've called it, Mark, the New International Vatican Version, because it's based on Codex Vaticanus, which has a, with some edits from Sinaiticus and Alexandrians and others, it's called the United Bible Society's text. It used to be called the Nestle-Aland Greek text. It's just the Codex Vaticanus with edits. And the science of light is not settled, by the way. Some of you may have been taught as though it was settled. I remember being taught in pretty dogmatic terms, but the science of light is not settled. As a matter of fact, in recent years, they've changed a lot of what they...